The state of Western Australia could face the first legal action for treating Indigenous workers like slaves more than half a century ago. A national law firm is considering taking on the slavery class action on behalf of the Aboriginal people. There is an active claim in Queensland for indentured Aboriginal labor, but in Western Australia, no wages were ever paid to Indigenous workers, which has led to calls for reparations. Lynn Evelyn with this report.
From the late 1880s, Indigenous people in Australia worked for minimal wages, or in the case of people living in Western Australia, for nothing more than board and food. Partner Rebecca Jankoskis from national law firm Shine Lawyers and her team are currently investigating a class action on behalf of Indigenous people in WA, which could include an anti-slavery claim. They say there were laws at the time prohibiting slavery. The law in WA differed from others as it did not require payment of minimum wages.
The difference that existed in Western Australia in relation to the legislation concerning the employment of Indigenous people is that for a period of time, the legislation did not require Indigenous workers to be paid a wage. So if the workers received food and board, that was considered adequate conditions for their employment.
Rebecca says her law firm is looking at establishing a legal precedent in WA by launching an anti-slavery claim against the state.
The other avenue that we will be seeking to explore is whether there is scope for a claim pursuant to anti-slavery legislation that was in force on the basis that for a period of time there was no requirement for Indigenous people to be paid for their employment. And so we understand that there are a number of Indigenous people who were working for no wages at all, and that may contravene the anti-slavery legislation that was in force at the time.
Rebecca says that it's unclear at this stage how many people were subject to forced labour conditions. She is guided by the number of Indigenous people who signed onto the Western Australian government's Stolen Wages Reparation Scheme in 2012, but her team is working with community groups to find out more.
In terms of the number of people affected in Western Australia, we're currently investigating with a view to ascertaining that number. Probably the best estimate of the number of people affected is the number of people who applied to take part in the Western Australian reparations scheme.
Dr. Fiona Skyring, an Australian historian who gave evidence at the Senate inquiry into Indigenous stolen wages in 2006, says that the single most significant impact of forced labour on the Indigenous community is intergenerational poverty.
The legacy of it has been intergenerational poverty. You know, when you have generation after generation of people working, but they're never actually able to accumulate anything, no matter how hard they work, because either they're not getting paid in the first place, or, you know, they're getting paid and then the government is taking a proportion of their wages and supposedly managing it on their behalf, but often it just disappears.
Dr. Skyring says Aboriginals were forced to work for nothing, and any legal requirements for workers to be given food rations were never properly monitored.
Essentially, it was a way by which colonial and then employers were able to indenture Aboriginal workers to them for no minimum payment. So there was actually no requirement for Aboriginal people to be paid. They were supposed to be provided with adequate food rations and clothing, but even that was never properly policed and it was never really enforced.
At this stage, the WA class action will seek to recover wages which were held in government-controlled trust accounts as well as other Commonwealth benefits. It was less than 50 years ago that the WA state government could legally hold up to 75% of an Aboriginal person's wage in a trust account, but in many cases, this money has simply vanished.
We anticipate that the litigation in Western Australia will seek to recover the wages that have been held in government-controlled trust accounts for decades. So, essentially, the action that we intend to bring is a trust claim, seeking to restore those wages that have been in trust for such a long time.
Rebecca says that if the anti-slavery claim is to succeed in court, it may pave the way for future claims and for reparations to be paid for workers in other parts of Australia.
If such a claim was to succeed, then it may provide a precedent for reparations to be paid to other workers who have been employed in similar conditions. But at this point in time, I'm not aware of a similar situation where such legislation may have been contravened. There has been litigation that's been pursued in the United States involving American Indians who were unpaid for periods of time, and claims have been advanced successfully to recover wages for these American Indians. So arguably parallels can be drawn here in terms of the employment of Indigenous Australians and the employment of American Indians.
Rebecca Jankowskis ending that report by Lynn Evelyn. A clearer picture of the slavery class action in Western Australia is expected in 2017.